Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Donovan McNabb will join us 20 minutes from now. We will chat it up with NFL cornerback Xavier Rhodes at the top of the hour. I just saw during this Knicks Heat game, which, by the way, Jimmy Butler not playing tonight. Jimmy Butler and the Heat are up 1-0 in this series. We'll see if the Knicks could grab game two. New York is currently up 27-26, still in the first quarter with 1:10 remaining. You know who's back at Madison Square Garden tonight? He was at the Ranger game. He was at the Knicks game in game one. Aaron Rodgers is there for game two. Talk about someone that wants to be seen and heard from. Aaron Rodgers maybe buying a little apartment inside of Madison Square Garden with how much he's been there, Hickey.
Maybe he'll try to buy the team, and he was a, you know, like he was a part owner with the Bucks. Maybe he'll do the same now with his new team in the, you know, in the local area with the Knicks.
I do think he has a 1% share, I think it is, of the Milwaukee Bucks, and I still think he has that share. So we'll see if he ends up giving that up, and then maybe places a phone call to Mr. Dolan to see if he can get a part of the Knicks. 1% of the Knicks.
I mean, I'm sure the money he's paying to get those courtside seats, might as well just go right to
ownership. I don't think he's paying anything. You think he's paying? I think he gets handed those seats, he places a phone call, or the Jets place a phone call, and all you have to do is just sit and kind of wave, and you get your face on Celebrity Row on the Jumbotron at MSG. I don't think Rodgers is paying a single penny
you
for those
the
seats.
Knicks want Celebrity? Like,
yes, they definitely want Celebrity.
I have no idea how Celebrity Row works in terms of paying for them versus paying your own hard-earned money. Even if they're free, I'm sure if the face value of the ticket alone could definitely be good enough to buy a little piece of ownership for sure. But, hey, it's free, even better.
I think if you're an A-list celebrity, I would imagine that you get those tickets for free. If you're like a B-lister, a C-lister, or a D-lister, but they would still put you on the Jumbotron, then, yeah, maybe you have to give a few shekels.
So here in radio, we have ratings to see who does well, who does bad. Is that how celebrities kind of rate themselves? Who could go to games for free versus,
question.
Oh, I got to pay? Oh, boy, I'm not A-list, huh?
And I'm just speculating, and it also probably depends on your relationship with the owner. Like, Spike Lee is paying for his tickets. Now, I would consider Spike Lee an A-list celebrity, but you know that Spike Lee has been critical of the Knicks, and once you're critical of the Knicks, that means you're critical of James Dolan, and when you're critical of James Dolan, James Dolan's a very petty man that holds grudges. So I would imagine that Spike Lee is paying for his tickets. But I would not think that Rodgers is paying for his tickets. And I'm sure he's there with a few teammates. Like, was he with Alan Lazard at one of those games? If so, if he is paying for his tickets, then I would hope that Rodgers is paying for Alan Lazard's ticket as well.
I think he's with Sauce Gardner tonight.
Oh, he's with Sauce?
Yes, I think Aaron Rodgers could do the now second-year player a little bit of a favor if, in fact, the tickets are being paid for by someone there and pick up Sauce's ticket.
It's really like a different level of douchiness when you get to athletes. It's like, oh, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I have the big contract. Sauce, yeah, you make a good living, but you're not at the big lucrative contract yet. So I'll treat you out to a night on the town where we get to go be big-time A-list celebrities and get wined and dined at MSG.
I've been here for a week, but don't worry. I got you. You come with me. I'll get you into all the nice clubs.
You're on my payroll, all right? That is pretty funny. All right, he's at Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Two big news items. Joel Embiid has officially won the MVP, also from Shams Charania. Chris Paul will be reevaluated in 1 week. Suns expect to be without CP3 for at least games 3 through 5. So the earliest maybe CP3 could return is game 6. Now, here's what gets lost in it. We know the Suns don't have a lot of depth to begin with, but Chris Paul has not been playing well in the postseason. I said going into this series, Nuggets are going to win in 7. I have now trimmed that down to the Nuggets end up winning in 5. Hickey, what did you say? I know you said that the Suns are going to win this series going in, but in how many games did you pick them going in?
Pretty sure 7.
Okay.
And I'll stick to that.
And you are now staying with that pick that the Suns are still going to win that series.
Suns in four is definitely catchier to chant than Suns in seven. But
how about
if
the Nuggets fans last night throwing in their face chanting Suns in four?
Good. Yeah, listen, if I was them, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be doing the same exact thing, rubbing it in KD and Devin Booker's faces.
Now, I did not ask you if you were sticking with the Suns before the Chris Paul news. Does the Chris Paul news change anything about that? And by the way, Maximo Lovely on Twitter says, as a Nuggets fan, I was ecstatic to hear Hickey saying he's sticking with the Suns. So there's one Nuggets fan out there that is very happy that you're sticking and being stubborn with your Suns pick because they know how this works on the Hickey Hex.
All right, we'll see in like 2 weeks. We'll see.
But why are you not going to change it even with the Chris Paul news?
No, because I saw last night, I mean, we have a groin injury. It's never a thing where you leave the game, don't return, and all of a sudden you're back in a game or two. I figured that was going to be, I mean, even though I know it's the playoffs, so you can say, oh, we'll reevaluate in a week. That doesn't mean really anything. But I still had a feeling this is going to be a long-term injury.
I'm actually surprised. I didn't know that you picked the Suns until today. I'm surprised that you picked, and I appreciate then you at least owning that. I'm surprised you, A, picked the Suns, and I'm a little bit surprised that you're sticking with the pick. Just because you were pretty down on the Suns after the first round, where you looked at the Suns, and we both shared this belief, we were not all impressed with what they did up against the Clippers, who had Kawhi for two games, had Paul George for zero games, and the Suns never looked like they were a dominant team at any point up against Los Angeles Clippers in those five games.
It's a little bit of definition of insanity, and I know what Antonio Daniels was talking about before when he was on about you can't microwave chemistry. But I just think they have too much talent to lose. And it's not looked good so far. The ball movement's not been there. The shot creation's not been there whatsoever. And contributions outside of Booker and Kevin Durant have not been there either so far for Phoenix in the first two games. I just will still stick with a very talented team that I will hope wakes up compared to jumping off ship now.
When do you wave the white flag on this?
And you lose game three. You're down 3-0. I'm not sitting here telling you we've never seen a 3-0 comeback.
Well, let me ask you
that
this.
It's going to happen.
What happens if they win game three, then they lose game four, and this goes back to Denver 3-1? Do you wave the white flag then?
I'm not much of a white flag waver.
Yeah, we've realized that.
So I just, you know, that's like, that's like a coward move at that point. Like, all right, then I'll stick with the pick. I'm not going to jump off at the last second just to save my ass in terms of, oh, the Nuggets are going to win now.
Your ass, it's just realizing you were wrong.
I'll realize when I'm wrong when the Suns are eliminated.
So when the Nuggets get to four, that's when you'll say it.
That is correct.
Okay, we'll see how long it's going to take or how quick it's going to take for Hickey to jump off that ship that he just made. Anyway, we will get to Donovan McNabb coming up in about 10 to 12 minutes or so. But first up, let's update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to the news brief.
For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
By the way, you know why James Harden was so locked in last night, Hickey?
Why was that?
Didn't he go on a little trip to Vegas? Didn't we see some video of him last week punching or slapping someone in the face last week? I'm sure he had a lot of partying time in Las Vegas. And you know him. When he goes to places with good party environments and good strip clubs, I think his games actually end up playing better from that old Reddit thread.
Except in the playoffs when he was with Houston when we saw a lot of missed shots and a lot of bad play. Maybe he's too much time there.
Oh, he definitely had to go to a strip club last night after the game, right? That guy's addicted to going to strip clubs. You got to think he's partied up in Boston.
I don't want to be gullible. But
oh, you think he's all locked in the playoffs and oh, the job's not done, so I'm not gonna party.
I did respect after the game was over. He's basically saying, series not over, that's just one game. We're gonna go win game two on the road here. Let's focus up.
Okay. But it's not like the game was today. Game two is not until what, Wednesday?
So that is correct.
So you have a day in between to kind of get that body right and recover from the stripper hangover.
I guess that's what the off day is for. I guess that's why the NBA puts the elongated schedule out there.
That actually could be your hottest take yet, that Harden didn't go out last night and party it up. I would be stunned if he wasn't out and about last night partying it up. But anyway, let's get to Doc Rivers, who says James Harden was locked in last night when James Harden had 45 points in a victory up against the Celtics to take a 1-0 series lead.
The rest helped. I thought the preparation helped. And I thought that he had just the perfect mindset tonight. He really did. I'm so happy for him because it just tells you what he can do on given nights. And then he can be your point guard on given nights. It just speaks, you know, it's amazing. The guy's a Hall of Famer. And all you hear is the other stuff about him.
Well, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. And even for, right, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, which I sometimes think there's a lot of guys that are in the Hall of Fame that shouldn't. James Harden is definitely a Hall of Famer. But, Hickey, how many times have we seen this guy in a big moment in the postseason just crumble when his team is on the verge of advancing or has a shot to put out another team? I give him all the credit in the world. It was a wonderful performance last night. It's probably his biggest postseason career moment that he's had. I know he had that block up against the Thunder a few years ago. But to do what he did without Joel Embiid was great. I just can't expect it to be consistent. And I don't think the criticism of James Harden has really ever been unfair, because this dude, as great as he's been in the regular season, hasn't had that success translate over with the games on the line in the postseason.
That's why there's been so much negative when it comes to Harden in the postseason. He is great in the regular season. He is tremendous. And so expectations are high because of how well he plays. And then consistently, over a very long time span, over multiple teams, any single postseason moment where they rely on him up until yesterday, he has failed. That's why, Doc, there's a lot of negativity, because he raised the bar so high with his great play in the regular season and fails to live up to it on a consistent basis in the playoffs.
So you have game two coming up on Wednesday, then game three is Friday. Sixers already got one on the road. There is a thought maybe you rest Joel Embiid and then bring him back for game three. Embiid just won the MVP. This was Doc Rivers from earlier today saying the game one win won't impact their decision about playing Joel Embiid in game two.
Well, there's no change in the status. I'm assuming it's doubtful. I don't even know what the words are. Whatever they are, they haven't changed, to be honest. But he's working out today. You know, he's over there with some of our guys right now. And I'll get the report when he gets back. So, but the fact that he's doing that is a step forward, for sure.
Does yesterday's result change at all, the approach?
No, it's just health-based. You know, if he can play, he plays. If he can't, he can't.
You think he plays, Hickey? Not if he should. Do you think he will play? Yesterday, the report from Moj was they were optimistic he could play for game two. Kind of makes me think that he is going to play in game two.
Will? No, I don't think he will play tomorrow.
Okay. Why is that? Just wondering.
I think they will take it. I think they'll be very cautious. I think game one will, despite what Doc Rivers says,
I think it will impact
their decision-making if we stole one. And let's get two extra days of rest and let's kind of go all in on game three at home.
That's funny, because I'm in kind of the boat that I don't think he should play. You think he should play. I think he will play. You think he won't play. It's kind of funny how we're on the reverse ends on both of that, those sides there. All righty, we'll keep it moving here. James Harden, he walks us through his mindset on the final shot. Celtics took the lead, and then boom, James Harden with the lengthy three.
I want you to create some space on that shot to go for the game winner.
I think PJ set the screen, and I came off the screen, and I was wondering if they were going to put two on the ball. And so when I crossed green, I you know, pulled the ball back out, it was just like, stay home, it's a one-on-one. So then I'm looking up, and I'm just, all right, this is what I work on every day. So to get the best available shot, no matter what it is, and, you know, raise up and shoot it.
Let's go out to Denver. The Nuggets take a 2-0 series lead. This game was right there for the taking last night. Nuggets win by 10, and that's because of Nikola Jokic. The Joker finished second in the MVP after winning back-to-back MVP awards. Had 39 points and 16 rebounds. Mike Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, says Nikola Jokic was on his game.
He was phenomenal tonight. 39 points, 16 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block to go with it. And one of my favorite stats, to your point, is that he had 30 field goal attempts, being aggressive. And, you know, other guys struggle to make shots tonight. But when that's happening, we need somebody to step up. And I thought Nikola did that and KCP did that.
Let's go to Monty Williams, the coach of the Suns. He says his team isn't panicking down 0-2.
You got to believe that it's going to come our way here soon. We got to go home and take care of business. That's where we are right now. And you'd love to come up here and get a split, but we have some of the greatest fans in the world, and we need them when we get back there because we have a chance to even this thing up on our home court.
I think this is going back to Denver 3-1. Jamal Murray did not even play great last night. We know he's a postseason killer when he's healthy on the floor. I got to think Joker and Murray are going to take one of the next two in Phoenix. We'll have to wait and see. Monty Williams, though, said Kevin Durant, who was 10-27 from the field, 2-12 from behind the arc. He had a rough night last night.
He just missed a ton of shots, but, you know, we got a lot of the shots we wanted. You know, he and Book took most of the shots. We just didn't shoot a great percentage tonight, and that kind of stuff happens. They only scored 97 points. Our defense was much better tonight. We just couldn't put the ball in the hole.
And let's hear one from Aaron Rodgers before we go to Donovan McNabb. Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show says Garrett Wilson has impressed him so far.
Fun to be here and be a part of it. And obviously, Garrett, you know, he's a talented guy. And then it's threw him a pass today and just kind of turned and was like, wow. That was his ability to kind of get in and out of his breaks. There's another 17 I played with for a long time who does it better than anybody. Mm-hmm. And but the explosiveness in and out of the breaks to 17 here is pretty similar.
And Rodgers is at the Knicks game tonight. We were talking about this earlier in the segment. How many of these A-list celebrities actually pay for their tickets? Let me ask you this one, Hickey, because I just saw a tweet. Carmelo Anthony's at the game. Do you think he's paying for a ticket tonight?
No, I would say absolutely not.
I would agree on that one, too. By the way, have you sensed this from Rodgers? He looks happier. He looks just, like, different. Like, towards the end in Green Bay, you just kind of looked at him and you kind of got a sense he didn't want to be there anymore. Now he looks like he's glowing with this move to go to the Jets. And that usually doesn't happen when you put someone in the Jets and they actually look happy.
It's impossible to miss. He does seem like a totally different person. I mean, he's at OTAs. He is on a football field in May working out with his team. That's all you need to know.
Like, towards the Roger Federer, he's at the game tonight. You think he paid for a ticket?
Probably not. Probably not.
But you look back at Rodgers, like, towards the end, he, not that he looked disheveled. Like, I don't want to go that level. But he just looked as if he was just miserable being there.
Even the way he sounded, too.
And now he's upbeat and looks like a star. And he even looked like he's lost a few pounds, too. Never that I thought that he was out of shape, but he looks like he's back to being Aaron Rodgers, happy-go-lucky, and like, I'm the star, I'm the man. We're in Green Bay. I was like, oh, I still have to be here?
We'll see how long that lasts. The New York media, the fans love you now. You know it. And I know it.
I don't think he's really going to get all that fed up with the New York media. I actually think he's going to enjoy trolling the New York media.
The second he has a game, and it could be week three, he throws three picks and the Jets lose, the pitchforks are going to come out, everyone's going to be criticizing him, and the honeymoon is going to be over.
By the way, I think him handling the New York media is one of the most overblown things ever.
We'll see.
It's not like, I know Green Bay is a small town, but that's football royalty there. They have dedicated people that cover the media. Like, I think he'll just get fed up, like, maybe, like, with the reporter that's there just to kind of sensationalize what he says, and he'll just kind of shut that reporter down and just clown that reporter. I do think Rodgers, and even basically said his introductory press conference, is going to enjoy interacting with the New York media. Donovan McNabb joins us next, and this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's chat a little NFL QB play with the draft just wrapping up last week in Kansas City. And we head out to the hotline right now and welcome in a man that was drafted second overall in 1999, did play for the Eagles, Washington, and wrapped up his career in Minnesota. He's a six-time Pro Bowler. And that, of course, is number five, Donovan McNabb. Donovan, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I'm doing outstanding. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. We know the Eagles a little while ago gave Jalen Hurts that big contract extension. 5 years, $255 million, $185 guaranteed. How'd you react to that when the Eagles rewarded their quarterback?
I thought it was well-deserved. I think everything that you've seen thus far with him progressing and leading the team, obviously, to the Super Bowl and just where the future lies, I think that was the right move for them to take care of him right now. I think in the next 3 years, he'll probably be going back to the table with the success that they'll be having. But it's still an exciting time for him as well as the rest of the football team.
You wonder how many quarterbacks in the NFL are better than Jalen Hurts. I have Mahomes, Burrow, and then I think it's up for debate, him in that three spot. Do you agree?
Well, I think he's up there in that class, definitely. And I think what he's shown over the last 3 years has not been nothing but excitement for the Philadelphia Eagles fans. And I think also you have to look at just where he's taken that team ever since he's taken over and the leadership qualities that he's presented. So, I mean, there are a lot of good quarterbacks out there. I think what he's done thus far in the past year has shown a lot. Now, there will be some more money passed around, obviously, with the rest of the quarterbacks, with Joe Burrow coming up next. So it'll be quite interesting to see what direction the NFL goes as far as the quarterback's payments are concerned.
You always wonder when a player gets the bag how it changes them. For Jalen Hurts, like you said, it's not a concern for me. He's the heartbeat of that locker room. He's a great leader, and he just has this laser-sharp focus. But when you have such a successful season, people want to see that consistency. I'm sure there's no doubts that you believe Hurts could replicate what he did a year ago and get even better, right?
Well, I think what we have failed to do is we failed to just sit back and just watch it. You know, there's going to be some ups and downs, and I think the expectations are so high right now for all of the quarterbacks. Just for instance, Joe Burrow goes to the championship, and then the next year they lose before they get to pretty much back to the championship. So was that a failed season? It wasn't. It was an opportunity for them to continue to grow and progress and see what they need to do in order to get back to the Super Bowl. So I just think for where we are, I think we put expectations so high on these young guys that once they make it, we think they're going to go back every year. It just doesn't happen that way. But it's about winning and losing and trying to progress each year and just try to find themselves in a position where they at least have a chance.
Donovan McNabb here with us. I know in the past talking to you, you love studying these young quarterbacks around draft time. Bryce Young ends up being the number one overall pick. Did you think that was the right selection for Frank Reich and the Carolina Panthers?
I personally didn't think that they could go wrong with either he or C.J. Stroud. And we got to remember what we've seen over the last 3 years in Indy hasn't been anything stellar. So was it the play calling? Was it the personnel? Was it Frank Wright? Whatever it may have been, they need to make some corrections in Carolina because this is his second opportunity. So is it going with Bryce Young? And what type of offense are you going to run? Are you going to run what Alabama has made, you know, Bryce Young to be very successful with in that type of offense? Or are we going to see the stagnant offense that we've seen over the years in Indy? And I think what you have to take into account is if they're going with Bryce Young, then it doesn't need to be an RPO game. It needs to be a spread offense, which, you know, we can get them in a three-step, five-step drop, some play-action game, utilize your backs a little bit more, and then be able to take some shots.
I always scratch my head at the draft process because you never know what's being said is actually genuine and what is negative. Maybe he's just being put out there to have a player fall so another team could go get him. It was weird to me how all this stuff was being said about C.J. Stroud, Donovan, and then he still goes number two overall, where a week before the draft, everyone said he wasn't going two overall.
Right. Well, you know what? It all it takes is one team to like you. And we all know every draft, there's always there's a guy that they use as bait. And in my draft, it was Akili Smith. In this draft, it was Will Levis. And then, you know, there's always one or two guys that either character flaws or they like to try to dig into their past and the question marks go up. And for C.J. Stroud, it was really weird because it wasn't really a team. It was, I believe it was Brady Quinn that made some comment about what he heard about Carolina, saying that, you know, that he was kind of nonchalant, that, you know, when he missed the Manning camp and turned them down, which it had no relevancy to this whole process. And with C.J. Stroud, everything that I've heard and seen, he's been cool, calm, and collective, and that's the type of quarterback that you want. So I think he's going to have a lot of success in that division where it's nothing that wows you in that division. It's just you have to be steady as a quarterback, and that's what we've seen with Trevor Lawrence last year. And it's going to kind of go back and forth, I think, with the anticipation and excitement in Indy with Richardson to Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars bouncing back in their second season with Doug Peterson. And then take into account what Houston is trying to do over there still early. but they did a great job in their draft.
What kind of quarterback do you see in Anthony Richardson?
You know, I see a guy that's still learning the position. Very talented, strong arm, very mobile. I think he's a lot more smarter than people try to give him credit for, because we focus so much on his athletic ability. But he also is 20 years old. So I think they're going to move along slowly. I see another Cam Newton in effect that, you know, will be able to develop a little bit more as a passer, but still can make create plays with his arm as well as his legs. And they're going to move along slowly. And Jonathan Taylor will be a major factor in their offense in Indy.
Were you surprised, Donovan McNabb, that Will Levis fell out of the first round? Because you hear him, like you were saying, there's someone always used as bait, going top five and where the betting odds were, and then we're sitting in Kansas City at the draft and we're like, uh-oh, he didn't even go in the first round.
No, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised because when you watch the film in his last 2 years, it was nothing that wowed you. You got to remember, you transferred from Penn State, and nobody at Penn State jumped off the board at you after watching them play. And then he gets to Kentucky, and we talk about, you know, people talk about his injuries, they talked about his lack of mobility, inconsistency throwing the quick game and intermediate passing game. Yeah, we could glorify how strong your arm is and how deep you throw, but that's not where the game is. The game is played within 10 to 15 yards, and if you can't complete that at a high clip, you're not going to survive. So I think he landed at the best place, which he can learn from Ryan Tannehill. You know, who knows? Ryan Tannehill might keep that job for another 2 years, and Will Levis will be learning from him, and he'll have his opportunity. But I wasn't surprised that the way the draft was going of who needed quarterback, I wasn't surprised that he fell out of the first round.
Wrapping up with Donovan McNabb, let me ask you about Aaron Rodgers. That trade is now official. He was introduced as the next Jets quarterback. How much success do you think Rodgers will have in New York?
I expect them to go 10 and 7. But I think they're still going to have to battle with the Buffalo Bills. I think they're a couple pieces away from kind of jumping off the screen and being that type of team. It's not just with Aaron Rodgers. I think Buffalo is still the team. I think New England is also a team to watch as well in the division. We already know about Miami. If Tua can stay healthy, I think they're a team that probably wins 12 games this year. And then, you know, you think about where the Jets may land. If they can win 10 games, you know, they've still got a battle with the New England Patriots, and I think New England ends up getting about 9 or 10 wins as well.
Why are you optimistic on New England? Because a lot of people have been down on them this offseason.
Well, I just think what we've seen, and now they all of a sudden bring in an offensive coordinator, one that definitely knows the New England way. He ends up going to get coaches that he specifically can let them run what they're used to running instead of trying to have a makeshift kind of a deal. And he can sit back and just kind of do what has made them successful over the years for an organization. And Mac Jones will take now, I think, a big jump from what we've seen in the second season.
Wrapping up with Donovan McNabb, before we let you run, I know you live in the Phoenix area now. A few weeks ago, or actually a few months ago, Kelvin Beachum, teammate of Kyler Murray, said that the Cardinals quarterback has some growing up to do. I know he's rehabbing from the injury, Kyler Murray. Just what advice would you give him right now?
I think the advice goes out to everybody else that's his teammate. Stop talking about your teammate and try to help him. I think the problem in the world right now of sports is it's easy to sit in front of a mic and talk about a guy who you're in a locker room with. But if you're not helping them, you're hurting them. And so for Kyler Murray, he's a guy that has had success everywhere he's been. And so maybe he don't understand some of the tough times and how to handle them. But if you do, you need to help him. Instead of talking negative about him, you know, try to find a way to provide a little bit of guidance for him, because he is your teammate at the end of the day.
Number five, always great to catch up with you. Appreciate the time. Hope you and the family are doing well.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Donovan McNabb. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll do a little Caleb Williams sweepstakes draft when we return. But first up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update. Actually, before we get to that, Rich Ackerman, I have to ask you a quick question here. I remember last year, you were annoyed with Hickey because when the Rangers were up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning, he started tweeting out about how he could see the parade coming down the Canyon of Heroes and he's reserving his spot.
I remember.
Are you equally as annoyed with Tim this year because in game three, he guaranteed Mika Zibanejad was going to score the overtime goal? The Devils ended up winning that game, and that started the turnaround. And last night, before the game started, he guaranteed the Rangers not only going to win, they were going to blow out the Devils and win the game 4-1. He's learned nothing from last year.
I guess his guarantees are like Patrick Ewing. But I didn't hear the previous guarantees this year, so I was last night. I cut him some slack because it was, I think, more about trying to be optimistic. So,
well, by the way,
yeah,
I think you let your guard down too.
Why?
Because usually, like, you're like me, you can be a little bit tough on Hickey. And last night before the game, sources told me that you gave Hickey a hug.
No, we were continuing the karma because I was nice to Hickey when the Rangers won, so I had to be nice to him throughout to try to ensure the victory. Of course, that did not work out.
So maybe the sports god sensed that it wasn't a meaningful
hug. So I'm back to hating Hickey.
Today. Okay, good. You're good in my books then.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So in the last 10 years, I don't even think this is up for debate. The two most hyped prospects we've ever seen have been Andrew Luck and then Trevor Lawrence. Hickey, when we get to the draft next year, Caleb Williams, I think, may exceed both those players in terms of the hype train. Because as the years continue, the more and more outlets there are for people to get their opinions out there. And right now, everyone in 2023 in the NFL is chasing Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And the fact that the comparisons are already starting to have Caleb Williams compared to Patrick Mahomes. Like, no one compared Andrew Luck to Tom Brady. No one compared Andrew Luck to Aaron Rodgers. No one compared Andrew Luck to Peyton Manning. The same really for Trevor Lawrence as well. The fact that you're already getting the comparisons from Caleb Williams to Patrick Mahomes, and also, if you recall, I had this audio from the Heisman where Caleb Williams says it's great to be talked about like Patrick Mahomes, but there isn't anything that he does in the field that I can't do. So the fact that he's embracing it as well adds into the hype engine. And then today you had an NFL QB coach to The Athletic come out and say anonymously, he's like a refined Mahomes. It's hard to compare anybody to Mahomes, but he really does play like him. If Caleb Williams plays the way that we expect him to this year, no injuries, right? Heisman finalist again. He won the award last year. I'm not even going to say it's team success, but if he does make the college football playoff, it only adds on to this. This could be maybe the most hyped prospect that we've ever seen when we're getting ready to break down an NFL draft. And we talked about the last 10 years, or I just talked about it. Lawrence was at a ridiculous level. Andrew Luck was almost at the tippy top. I really do believe if Caleb Williams has the year that we expect him to have, he's going to exceed that hype train that was Luck and Lawrence, Hickey.
Yeah, I mean, probably maybe equal. Like, I just don't know, I guess, when you talk about trying to equate that, I just don't know what it could be even more, honestly, because Lawrence was very hyped, and that was a guy I can't miss. And Luck, a decade ago, that was kind of a no-brainer for the Colts. Maybe outside of just teams blatantly losing in like week 14, and you kind of see like now the race to the bottom play out in, you know, in plain sight. Maybe, I guess that's the only way I can think off the top of my head how the hype could exceed like a Lawrence recently, but he's by far of this, definitely this decade, one of the camest prospects.
And I just got a tweet from Dalton in Topeka. He says, you're forgetting about Joe Burrow when you talk about the most hyped prospects the last 10 years. I'm not. Joe Burrow was great. Joe Burrow had one of the greatest climbs we've ever seen from basically going, what, maybe undrafted sixth, seventh round, fifth round pick at best, to then winning the Heisman and being the number one overall pick. But for Trevor Lawrence, it was 3 years of hype. For Andrew Luck, it was multiple years of hype. For Caleb Williams, it's been multiple years of knowing he is the guy. Where for Caleb Williams going into this draft, how many people said, yeah, as great as Bryce Young could be, as great as CJ Stroud could be, if Caleb Williams in this draft, he would be without a doubt the number one overall pick. Burrow came out of nowhere. So as much as I love Burrow, I'm not forgetting Burrow, but he came onto the scene out of nowhere. I know where he was recruited at Ohio State, the story with LSU, but he played at LSU for a year, and we were talking more about Nick Brossette than Joe Burrow, and then it was the next year where he popped off and put himself in this just ridiculous category of ended up being great. So there's a difference when you talk about Burrow and the hype train compared to guys like Williams, Luck, and then also Trevor Lawrence.
Joe Burrow's hype train started in January, and the draft was in April. 4 months. We're talking Trevor Lawrence won a national title his freshman year.
Yeah, there was more hype around Tua.
3 years of Trevor Lawrence hype compared to 4 months of Joe Burrow hype because, like you said, right, he was a sixth-round projected draft pick going into that 2019 season before he lit the world on fire. It was can't miss by the time the Bengals were on the clock, but not going into that year, not going... No one even knew who Joe Burrow was even before that.
Well, that year, it was tanked for Tua. It wasn't be bad for Burrow.
Right.
And eventually, he ended up going clearly before Tua Tagovailoa. Tua fell to 5, and then you had Herbert going 6 as well in that draft class. All right, give me a little NFL music. Let's do a draft here. We'll take 5 teams each when we look at teams we think could end up with Caleb Williams next year in the NFL draft. Heads or tails to determine who goes first? I have a coin in my hand.
Heads.
And it is tails. So I will go first here. I'll take the Arizona Cardinals. They have their own first-round pick. They're supposed to be bad. And then they have the Texans' own first-round pick from the Will Anderson Jr. trade, and the Texans are expected to be bad. So I will go with the Arizona Cardinals. And then goodbye to Kyler Murray and that contract.
The Cardinals are your first pick?
Yeah.
How are they going to move off Kyler?
They're going to say this is a generational talent in Caleb Williams. So they'll probably keep Kyler on the roster for a year or... It's really the salary, when you look at the salary in terms of the dead cap, it's only insufferable for 1 year when you look at the dead cap. And then it gets down to what we now look at is a, not a great number, but somewhat of a decent number.
Well, who would they play?
Oh, Caleb Williams. They would play Caleb Williams, and then I think they would just eat the dead cap hit for that. So 2023, it's 97 million this year. That's not the year. It's 81 the year after that. I think they would eat the $81 million dead cap, and you have Caleb Williams on a rookie year deal, and then after that, it goes down to $33 million the year after that in 2025.
Wow.
You're telling me if the Cardinals stink this year and wow, all those questions about Kyler Murray, they're not taking Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick?
I don't think they will, no.
Okay.
I think that contract would be way too prohibitive.
Gotcha. I 100% disagree. Go ahead.
Okay, I will go with the Falcons then. My first pick. They stink. Desmond Ridder, I don't think, will be very good. They needed a lot of holes. They went with a running back. I will take the Falcons.
I don't think the Falcons stink. I think they have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. They don't have a quarterback, but they had 7 wins last year.
Or defense. No defense.
They had 7 wins, though, last year, and that division stinks. But okay. I think it would have to be through a trade-up. All righty, my next team. I'll go the L.A. Rams. I don't know how healthy Stafford is. Stafford really has nothing around him outside of Cooper Kupp. It seems like McVay has 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Maybe that's the way to keep him there. You have him staying also in Los Angeles. Caleb Williams currently at USC. You know, have him stay in California. I'll take the Rams in at number 2.
My second pick will go with the Las Vegas Raiders. I hope for your sake, Caleb Williams, this has not come to fruition because I don't think you would do well under Josh McDaniels, but that team, I don't see them getting much better in year number 2. You downgraded in quarterback, and you got a quarterback that's injury prone as well in Jimmy G. If he's even going to play, how long will he play? I'll go the Raiders.
Next team I'll go with, Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay obviously going to take a huge step back. They only had 8 wins last year. They lost a lot of pieces. You're now going to maybe be starting either Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask. I have zero confidence in Todd Bowles as a coach. Tampa Bay is going to need to replace Tom Brady. I could see them being bottom 5 this year and getting Caleb Williams.
Well, my next pick, I'll go with the Chicago Bears.
I was thinking about them.
This is a team that even with Justin Fields improving, still managed to lose every game down the stretch. So if you don't see that drastic of an improvement, especially with the addition of DJ Moore, they will not, I promise you, they're number 1, be trading down again like they did this past year.
And also remember, you have no long-term commitment right now to Justin Fields. So it makes it very easy for a regime that didn't draft Justin Fields to then go replace him. All righty, my next pick. I don't think this team is going to be this bad, but with new ownership, it may make them say, we're going to trade all the way up to the tippy-tippy top and give up the assets. The Washington Commanders. I will throw them in as my fourth pick. Your fourth pick, Icky?
I'm going to go on a little bit of a limb here. I'm going to go the Dolphins.
The Dolphins are on my list. I was hoping you were going to say another AFC East.
They did not play well when Tua was outside of course, the playoff game, the most important game of the season. They did not win a game that Tua was out with. So if he gets hurt and, again, is out for a large part of the season, I don't think they'll be doing much better with Mike White.
My final pick, and so far I've had the Cards, Rams, Bucks, and Commanders. Hickey's had the Falcons, Raiders, Bears, and Dolphins. I'll go with my team. The New England Patriots. Belichick closing in on Shula's record. I don't think they are going to be good this year. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, but I don't think they're going to be as bad as the number one pick. But maybe Belichick says, I'm sick and tired of hearing everyone saying, I'm not this great coach anymore. I got to go trade up, and let me go get a generational player to do that. Well, I'll trade up all the way to the number one spot, give up future assets, and I will set this team up for future years of success with Caleb Williams.
My last pick will go inside the AFC South. This is a very good coach. I just don't know what this team, the direction is. I will go with the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
That would be terrible.
Oh, that would be great. Because you'd have Trevor Lawrence with the Jags. You have the Texans with C.J. Stroud. Let's hope Anthony Richardson turns out to be a bust for Hickey's sake. And then you go get Caleb Williams with Tennessee. That would be wonderful. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. We'll come on back, and when we do return, NFL cornerback. Played with the Bills and Cowboys last year. Made the Pro Bowl a few times. First team All-Pro back in 2017, I believe. Xavier Rhodes is going to be joining us. Don't want to miss that conversation. It will be a fun one when we return in 5 minutes.